Now, for the second part of our food segment today, I want to tip you off about a new cookbook that is all about making the most of cooking with pork. And it's appropriately called Oink, the Perfect Pork Cookbook. Its author, Billy Forsman, is with us on the line now to chat to us about this project, which was a real labor of lockdown love. Billy, great to have you on the show this afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, Pippa. Thanks.
What is it about pork specifically that made you think it deserved its own devoted cookbook?
Well, you know, you've noticed that pork often is a sort of unsung hero. If you take out a lot of books that sort of go through all the different cuts and types of meat and food that you can eat, you'll find one sort of lonely pork recipe amongst, you know, the myriad of lamb and beef and chicken and other recipes that you're going to get out there. And also noticed that people were a little bit hesitant when it comes to pork. People, you know, everyone loves bacon, and, you know, Christmas gammon is a tradition for a lot of families. So people will, you know, they'll eat their pork. But when it comes to the other cuts, they're sort of a little bit nervous. And we thought it would be a good idea to put out a book there that is really a book for everyone, and that will be a go-to book for pork, and give people a little bit of a help. And a guide into the different cuts. It's an extremely versatile animal, and in these days, it's also a very affordable a meat to buy. And yeah. There's a lot of recipes out there that are really interesting, really exciting, and where you can have a lot of fun with your friends and family.
And as you say, it's a healthier cut. It tends, okay, with some exceptions, there are a lot of options in the pork repertoire that are very lean options. Although on the other end of the spectrum, you get a really fatty, rich pork belly, of course. But Billy, there are ways to cook with this in so many different styles by utilizing the different cuts. You mentioned that people are a little bit hesitant. Is part of the problem that the range of cuts isn't always widely available? That if you walk into a supermarket, you'll find pork chops and you'll find pork sausages and maybe a leg roast, but not a lot more than that?
Yeah, I think the hesitancy comes from a couple of things. I think you touched on a definite problem where the range of cuts aren't necessarily always available. I think there's a bit of historical baggage. I mean, I remember my mother always being overly concerned about, you know, how well done the pork was cooked. You know, so people are still a bit nervous if it's a slightly pink or something like that. And, so, you know, these sort of things have just come down the line. And I think people are just not educated, really, in just how wonderful the animal is and, you know, what variety there is and the amazing dishes that we can do with it. And the fact that there is, as you touched on, there is, I mean, pork belly can be very fatty. But if, you know, there's a pork fillet that has absolutely no fat on it, and you can do the pork belly with fat or without, you know, you can drain a lot of the fat off if you don't, if that's not your game.
Yeah. It's got its place. And if you serve it with a nice sort of acidic Asian sauce with some lime juice to cut through the richness, I think it's absolutely one of the most amazing things to cook with. Billy, you touched on the pink pork thing, and we've got to, I think, interrogate that a little bit. As you say, historically, pork had the living daylights cooked out of it because people were concerned about tapeworm infestation. Mm. Things have changed a lot since then, though. Is the problem that people are still cooking it to death and drying it out in the process, not realizing that it's really not as big a concern as it used to be?
Absolutely, and that is a huge issue. And we try and encourage people, you know, in the book to make use of marinades and spices. Pork is very accommodating with different flavors, and you know, it's really a meat that can, you know, you can cook almost any style. And there's people, and it's, you know, there's evidence around the world. I mean, it's the most popular meat in Asia. It's, you know, the Portuguese have done wonderful dishes with pork. You'll go across to the Americas, north and south. You know, it's everywhere around the world. Someone is influenced using pork as an ingredient, and there's some really fun and interesting recipes out there.
Now, you've done a very clever thing at the start of this book, Billy, to tap into that wonderful variety of pork flavors. You've got the flavor wheel, which basically sets out this wonderful array from South American to Caribbean to Chinese to Southeast Asian to North African to Middle Eastern to Portuguese, French, and with each sort of chunk of the wheel are the spices you can play with and add to your pork, and the you know, the things like the black beans for the Mexican and the fennel that goes with it beautifully if you're wanting to cook Italian style, etc., etc. Tell us about how people should utilize that flavor wheel.
Yeah, the flavor wheel is something we're very excited about, and I think people can have a lot of fun with the flavor wheel. So what we've done, you know, in the book, we've broken the book down into 8 chapters, and each chapter is sort of a different cut of the animal. And we've put in there most recipes, are, as I said, they're fun, they're exciting, they're up to date. but they're not over-the-top complicated recipes. They're pretty basic recipes. They're fairly easy. Most people will be able to do every single one of the recipes in the book. But what we've done is we've taken a basic pork chop type recipe, and we've put in some flavors. And if our recipe is, you know, you were talking about earlier now about the apricots, and it's apricot jam season.
Yep.
You know, we've got a recipe in there where you would put in some, you know, apricot marinade and fresh apricots on with your pork chop. But that's maybe a traditional South African style of doing a pork chop. And then what we would want is you to go to the flavor wheel, because we don't want you to cook the chop the same way every single time you cook it. You're going to be bored out of your mind. You want something fresh. You want some new exciting ideas. Look at the flavor wheel and say, Mexico. What do we do in Mexico? Okay, Mexico, you know, chilies, we've got cumin, cinnamon, coriander, corn, cornmeal, garlic, lime, paprika. Okay, these ideas, grab those flavors and either put them in your marinade, put them in a rub, find the, you know, the vegetables and the fruit that go with that type of thing, and, you know, mix yourself up a nice tequila cocktail here in December and cook your pork chops Mexican style. And then the next time, do it differently. Go on the flavor wheel again and choose something else. So that way, we've got about 64 recipes in the book. You can turn those recipes into over 600 recipes.
Billy, I mean, it's absolute music to my ears, because I've literally had that conversation. My daughter would eat a crumbed pork chop every single week if I gave her that choice. And when I sit down on the weekend and plan the meals for the week ahead, it's what she asks for every time. And I've said several times in the last month or two, aren't you getting bored of this? We now know how to fix that thanks to your wonderful flavor wheel. You've also got some real classics in this book, like, I mean, the traditional quiche Lorraine, which is there in its simple beauty of the ham and the leeks and the butter and the Gruyere cheese. But then what I love about what you've done with these recipes is at the end, there's suggestions on how you can zhuzh it up a bit. So if you've got the taste for blue cheese or gorgonzola, supplement that for some of the Gruyere. Try replacing this with that. Try doing it crustless if you want a gluten-free option. They're really creative ideas on how to, as you say, make these recipes walk a little bit further than just the traditional version. Billy, The recipe and the photograph, which just had me drooling as I looked through this the first time, was the rib recipe. And I mean, South Africans and their pork ribs and chips, a marriage made in heaven. But tell us about Jimmy in Krugersdorp, whose ribs made it into this book. What is so special about them?
Oh, look, Wendy, if I've got to tell you about Jimmy, I have to be very careful, because Jimmy's the godfather. I mean, Jimmy's the godfather of ribs, and he's an amazing individual, and he really knows how to cook ribs. You know, each, as I touched on earlier, Papa, you know, the book's broken down into 8 chapters, and each chapter is a different cut. But what we also did was we got a celebrity to head up each chapter. So,
yeah.
I mean, we've got Jimmy, as you've mentioned, and I'll tell you about Jimmy. But we've also got Ruben Riffel, we've got Mahasha Shoni, we've got Emma Chen. You know, each of these amazing people is heading up a different chapter. And Jimmy runs a place called The Diner in Krugersdorp, which makes ribs the way I remember ribs being made, which was the full rack of ribs. You know, when it comes on to in front of you, it takes the entire plate. Your chips and salad and fries got to find their own plates. You know, they come separately.
Yep.
And it is really delicious. And what Jimmy did, which I think he made a big mistake, because he told us exactly how he does his ribs, and we've put it in the book. And so we've got the rib there. What we did, though, was we, in the photo of our ribs that we've put in the book, it's the normal cut of ribs, which is kind of like a half cut, because you either use the loin or the belly side of the ribs. It's very difficult to get a full rack. It's not really available in the supermarkets. But if you've got a good supplier or a nice butcher, you know, ask them for the full rack of ribs and do it the old-fashioned way, you know, and follow the Jimmy's recipe in our book, and you'll have them Jimmy style, or go to the diner in Krugersdorp and meet Jimmy. He's a character.
I can't not ask you about the roast gammon for Christmas, or the boiled and glazed gammon, I should add, because you've got a variety of different options, Billy, that I think a lot of people will be reaching for as their first recipe they try from this book. I mean, the essentials are to first give it some time simmering in a flavored sort of brine of some sort, and then, as you point out, to layer it on with some luscious, glossy, sweet glaze of some sort. Talk to us a little bit about how you've treated gammon in the book.
Yeah, I mean, gammon is a prime example of what we were touching on earlier, of where I think, you know, I'd like people to look at the flavor wheel and try that. The recipe we've got in the book is a really, it's a good recipe, but it takes, it's a basic, it tells you how to do a gammon, you know, really, you know, a foolproof way in a certain sense. I mean, we love putting it in a bit of marinade overnight, or if you've got a little bit more time, even a little bit longer, soaking in those flavors. But in terms, we've given flavors and a profile there in the recipe, but I would really encourage people, you know, to to think out the box and try to do something a little bit different this Christmas. And even if you are doing the gammon, that's fantastic, but do it with different flavors. And, you know, give it some time, let those flavors soak into the meat, and you won't be sorry. You know, it's not a complicated dish to do, and I think people will be well rewarded.
Just for the sake of those who might have joined us late to the conversation, my guest on the line with us is Billy Forsman, the man behind Oink, the perfect pork cookbook, which has just hit the shelves and is crammed full of ideas on how to make use of every single cut of pork you can imagine. I mean, nose to tail, Billy, is really the approach you've gone for here. There are entire chapters on what to do with parts of the pig that many people will never have played with before, which I think is going to be really exciting. I think we have to give a shout out to the pulled pork recipes. There are several different variations here, some with a Mexican theme, some made in a poiki pot with different spices. Pulled pork was all the rage a couple of years ago. You found it on every single restaurant menu. It had its moment. And is it still as popular, do you think, in South Africa?
I think for me, you know, you were touching earlier about your daughter who loves the pork schnitzel. My kids are taco fanatics. You know, if we don't do Taco Tuesday, I get a hairy eyeball in the house. So, you know, what I've done is we've done tacos with pulled pork. So, yes, it was all the rage and it's fantastic, but it doesn't take away that it's still a delicious way of eating pork. And the different cuts can go into pulled pork. You know, we've got an amazing poiki recipe by really talented guys, the Lumberjacks, who put it together. And, I mean, they've used, you know, a pork shoulder mostly. But I've used pork neck. There's pork belly. You can put all the different cuts into making a pulled pork. It's not just one cut of meat and one style and one way of doing a pulled pork. Yeah. There's a lot of different variations to the theme here, and I'm always ecstatic if there's pulled pork on the menu and I can get my hands on some. It's absolutely delicious.
It's one of my go-to orders as well. Absolutely love it, especially in tacos and wraps with guacamole and some sour cream. You can't make me any happier. Billy, somebody's asking about what wine goes well with pork, because it's a kind of an in-between meat. It sits somewhere between white meat and red meat, and therefore between white wine and red wine. Which would you recommend to serve with pork?
Yeah, to me, I mean, that's the beauty of pork. I mean, to me, it's not an in-between. It covers all bases. So to me, I mean, I just love it. I mean, I was a little bit irritated the other day. One of the liquor stores had their Christmas pamphlet out there, and they had all this white, you know, pairings, wine pairings for different types of meat, and I think pork got one lonely mention again. Whereas for me, you can go from white wine to rosé to red wine, and you can go from heavy and, you know, flavorful wines to light wines. It just depends on the dish. You know, if we've got some spicy Mexican dishes in here, we've got bunny chows with pork. I mean, you'd be drinking maybe a chivitstramina or something like that. We could go on to the pulled pork and maybe there's a rosé or a light red, you know, a gamay noir or something. We can go on to the roasts where you might want to say, okay, no, we're going heavier red, we're going cab sav. To me, we've got some wonderful salad recipes in the book, a Caesar salad with pork. You might say, whew, that's perfect for some champagne, sparkling wine, MCT, and a beautiful pork Caesar salad. So to me, it's the meat that almost you can do anything with, and it goes with anything.
Okay, Billy, we've got a listener calling in with a question who I hope is going to get through in time for us to get your feedback on pork on the braai. And just to mention that a number of the recipes in this book are suitable for cooking on the braai, not just in the oven or on the stove. Jeff in Simonstown, specifically, you're wanting to braai pork chops.
Yes, and I would like to know how you do it so that the meat isn't dry.
Okay, Billy, any advice for Jeff on braaied pork chops?
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. Jeff, the way to do it is make sure marinate your meat if you can. You know, if you can overnight it, and we've got some wonderful marinades in the book, wonderful recipes, marinade, rub, so give it a lot of flavor, and then make sure the coals are not over hot, because depending on your marinades, if there's sugar in it, you're going to end up burning your chop. So not too hot coals, and just watch it, but don't overdo it. I mean, that is one of the dangers of chops, and people have complained about that. I complain about it a lot. So just be careful, but the trick is in the marinade to keep the meat moist, and then just don't put it for too long on the fire.
Thank you very much.
Jeff, thanks for your call. A bit of luppy sauce is also a thing of great beauty with a pork chop and a braai. That's my tip. Billy, I'm always in charge of the gammon for Christmas lunch. And so one of the things that excited me in the book, besides the gammon glaze ideas, was all the condiments and sides that were suggested at the end, including advice on how to make your own mustard from scratch using mustard seeds, which I'm definitely going to try. And that's one that can be varied up quite a bit in terms of flavor, in terms of which liquid you use. So they're variations using water if you want it quite plain, or beer and cider, or cider or white wine, which is quite exciting. You've also, though, got the classic South African sweet mustard sauce, which I think most people either love or hate. Billy, I prefer the strong traditional English style mustard, but South Africans do love their mustard sauce with condensed milk, don't they?
Yeah, with any sauce with condensed milk.
Okay, so that's in there, as is, I mean, when I just read the words coffee, bacon, jam, I started salivating. So that is definitely going to be on our table this year if I have my way. Billy, I mean, yeah, I don't know how many recipes you said were in this book, but the 600-odd variations, I can believe, including macaroni cheese on steroids. We don't have time to talk through the recipe now, but trust me, it is one that you are going to want to try. Billy, final question is, I know it's just hit the shelves. Is it in all good bookstores as we speak?
Absolutely. All good bookstores. It's part of the exclusive books Christmas range, so you should get it there. Otherwise, it's also on the online stores if you can't get yourself to a bookstore. But it's available at all the stores.
Thank you so much for the inspiration, and thanks for joining us today. Billy Forsman, the man behind Oink, the perfect pork cookbook. It is published by Quivertree and retailing at around about 450 Rand a copy in stores now.